Thank you, worship team. Thank you very much. Good morning. Good morning, Oasis family. Are you well? Are you cool? Been a warm week, hasn't it? I tell you what a morning it's been already. Can you sense the presence of God here this morning? I know I can. It's a real privilege to be here and to have this opportunity to speak with you this morning. For anyone who doesn't know, my name's Asher, one of the leaders here at Oasis. And I'm normally out with our young people, the teens or the children. And Pastor Robin volunteered himself to take that slot today. They like having him, so, yeah, you can teach an old dog new tricks. I'd like to open in prayer and just invite the Lord in. It's because I'm a little bit nervous. I shouldn't be nervous. Not nervous as in, you know, you don't scare me. But actually the content, what the Lord has put on my heart to speak about today, makes me a bit nervous. It's not one of the more delightful or fluffy messages that the Lord has asked me to deliver. And so I want to make sure that we start by inviting the Lord into this, and so that we only hear his words. We want more of him and less of me. But what I would like to say is that, you know, normally when I come and I speak in this way from this platform, I try and encourage. Just want to encourage. I'm not trying to encourage today. I'm not trying to condemn. But encourage, I think, is a bit too soft and fluffy. And I think actually what I believe the Lord is asking today is that actually I'll light a fire up the backsides of some people. So that makes me a little bit nervous. Should we pray? Oh, Father God, we have so much to thank you for and to honour your name for. This morning, we already sense your presence, Lord. And I just ask that you would come into this next segment of the service this morning, Lord. We invite you in. Keep breaking in, Lord. Break into our hearts and our minds. Break into the words that are going to leave my lips this morning, Lord. Cause me to shrink and you yourself increase, Lord. Increase so that we hear what you want us to hear. Help us, Lord, not to just hear. Help us, Lord, to take what you are giving us, to commit it to our hearts and our minds, but also to our hands and our feet, Lord, and make us doers of your instructions this morning. We ask this in your holy and precious name. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Tick. I wrote here, disclaimer. So consider yourself disclaimed. So I've been asking the Lord last couple of weeks what it was that he wanted, the message that he had for me to speak this morning. And actually what he's done is really quite interesting, actually. He's revealed in my own life some work that he's actually been doing this year. And it was a bit of a revelation for me, actually, just to pause and reflect. And then he said, go and speak on that. So here we are. So if nothing else, I'll be playing this back later and I'll be speaking to myself and taking heart in the reflections of where the Lord has brought me this year and where I believe he's calling me to in my next steps. And the phrase that kept coming back to me when I asked the Lord was quite simple, actually, two words. He said, go deeper. I nearly fell off my chair when I heard Pastor Robin announce to us last Sunday, the Focus on Israel conference this year in October is on going deeper. Don't worry if you missed that announcement. I did too. I was in creche. But he's going to announce it again today. I think the Lord is saying something. He's telling us something. And I think we need to listen out for this. The Lord has challenged me in a number of areas this year to go deeper. And one of those areas has been prayer. I started this year thinking, you know, this is going to be the year, 2026. I'm going to take my prayer to the next level. And let me tell you, the Lord has certainly given me plenty of things to pray about this year. My eyes have been opened, my ears have been opened, my heart has been opened. Let me tell you, I feel like there is not enough hours in the day to pray for the things that have been put on my heart. But actually, what I've learned about prayer is that going deeper in prayer isn't necessarily about just praying more. Actually, it's just about praying differently. It's about allowing the Spirit to guide me. It's drawing on Scripture as I pray. It's giving thanks and asking and listening and declaring the truths of God in the name of Jesus. I think this is important for us because going deeper doesn't necessarily just mean doing more, which I think we can sometimes fall into that trap of believing. I don't think that going deeper necessarily means just attending another church service or another Bible study, another prayer meeting added to an already busy schedule. I think the Lord's invitation is much more fundamental. He's inviting us to go deeper in knowing him, in trusting him, in surrendering to him, to go deeper in loving him. And all of these things, I believe, start at one point, which is for us to see and recognize who God really is. And I think in order to do that, we need to go back to the beginning. And I literally mean the beginning. There's a verse that I'm sure you know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Yeah, I did mean the beginning. And I'm sure you're familiar with this verse. 10 words. I don't even need to read it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you know it? Good. So you've all read the first page. Great. Keep going. We can read that so quickly and miss the significance. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, if we weren't so westernized with our schedules and our timekeeping, we would stop right now and fall to our knees in praise. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did anybody tune into the solar eclipse that took place this week? Wasn't it amazing? Less so from my back garden. There was too many clouds. Didn't need special glasses. Clouds took care of that. Thank you, Lord. But actually, I don't know about you, but I did lots of Googling. I don't know how it works. Googling, what's going on? How does this work? Or how do we think it works? How often does it happen? Why does it happen? You know, God did that. God designed that. And I don't know about you, but I just think that is mind-blowing. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that designed it, so that on the 12th of August 2026, that the moon and the sun would do that thing, and we'd all be in our gardens, and we'd all be looking it up, or trying to watch it live on YouTube in Portugal, where it's much, much better. That same God invites us into a personal relationship. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You notice how in the beginning, it didn't start with humanity. Who did it start with? It started with God. And do you know what? Thank God it did. Because man, can't trust him quite so much. But actually, I've got a lot of trust in God. He was there. He designed it. He knows how it's meant to be working. What I love about this is that in the beginning, it doesn't begin with our problems. It doesn't begin with our needs, our ambitions or plans. It begins with God. And we actually sang about this earlier, didn't we? About the God who is the giver of every breath, the author of eternity, the maker of heaven and earth, that our life is because of Jesus. Do you remember that? Was I in a different service? Yeah, we did sing that. Good. I'm glad the worship team know. Before there was your life and your family and your career, your house, your bank account, your ambitions, your disappointments, before all of that, there was God. And everything that exists ultimately exists because of him, because he created it. This is the same God that called Abraham, the same God who rescued Israel out of slavery, who parted the Red Sea, who provided for his people in the wilderness, who remained faithful despite their repeated unfaithfulness. This is the same God who came to earth as the person of Jesus, who went willingly to the cross, who was buried in a tomb, who rose again, who left his spirit to be in each and every one of us. It is the same God. And yet, how spiritually comfortable we can get. I just don't get it. 12th of August, Wednesday, what was it, 20 past 7-ish? I don't know, blink and you'll miss it. And I stood in complete wonder that the God that set the stars in the planet, in the universe and the planets and all of that whole thing, he wants a relationship with me. And how spiritually comfortable we can get. We can become familiar with him without actually going deeper with him. We can know the songs. We can know the Bible stories. And yet we can still keep God at just a very comfortable distance. Sunday morning, 10:30 till 12 if you're lucky. Maybe 12:15. Depends if Andrew's preaching. And I wonder, the question that I'm asking is, have we really seen who God is? Have we seen the value, the treasure? And actually, Jesus gives us a really beautiful picture of this. And this is found in Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus says, verse 44, this is, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And there are three words in there that I absolutely love. In his joy. Say them with me. In his joy. This man finds the treasure. He buries it. Sells all that he has. And in his joy, he acquires that field. You see, the man discovered something that was so valuable that everything else is suddenly seen differently. Let's be honest, he doesn't sell everything that he has because he has to. He's not threatened, he's not miserable, he's happy enough. That doesn't tell us that, does it? No. He sees the treasure and he recognizes its worth. He understands it and he responds. He responds in his joy. And this should really challenge the way that we think about our faith sometimes. Or the way that we live out our faith at times. Because I think some of us, maybe all of us, I don't know, is sometimes we can fall into the trap of trying to just calculate things between us and Jesus. How much do I have to give? How much should I pray? How long do I need to be on the Sunday school rota before it's okay for me to drop off? Always looking for new leaders. If the Lord is talking to you about joining Sunday school, come and talk to me. Jesus asks, have you seen the treasure? No, seriously, have you seen it? Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you've read about it, but have you seen the treasure? And I don't know, have we really understood the value of knowing Christ? Have we understood what it means that the God who created everything wants a relationship with us? Have we understood exactly what it is that Jesus has done for us on the cross. And when I say for us, I don't mean for us. I mean for you. For you and you and you and for me. Individually, same God, gone to a lot of effort for each and every one of us. We read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. This is Paul speaking. And he says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. I don't want to know about him. I don't want to know the theology. I don't want to know the stories. He says, I want to know Jesus. For the avoidance of doubt, let me tell you, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him better than I know anybody else. And I know some people really, really well. You see, Paul, he understood that knowing Jesus meant more than just receiving blessings from him. It meant becoming like him. It meant surrender, sacrifice, obedience. Paul didn't simply want what Jesus could give. He wanted to know Jesus. And honestly, I think that's where we ought to be beginning. I think that's where going deeper begins. Because when we see the treasure and we recognize its worth, actually, all of a sudden, surrender stops looking like loss. And it starts looking like the very natural response to discovering something more valuable than anything else that we have, that we could earn, have given to us, acquire, find. Nothing will compare to that treasure. Now, this bit I really chuckled when I wrote this. I'm sure it won't land as I thought it might. But truthfully, there are some people in my life that would describe me as radical. And honestly, I take it as a compliment. I don't think it's intended as a compliment, but I take it as a compliment. And that's not because there's anything about me that is particularly impressive or dangerous. Let me just add. But because, yes, I want my life to be passionately centered on Jesus. I want to pray. I want to study his word, to worship, to serve, to give of my time, my energy, and my money. And you know, the more that I see who Jesus is, the more that I recognize this treasure, the less I think that this is radical. Because you see, if God really is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who came to earth for us, if Jesus really did go to the cross for us, if he really conquered death, if he really is the treasure, then how is praying radical? How is studying his word radical? How is serving him and giving in his name radical? For me, I think it is simply the response of someone who has seen the treasure. Jesus gives us another picture in, it's in a couple of places in the Gospels. I'm going to be referring to Luke chapter 8, and it's the parable of the sower. And I'm sure you're familiar with this, but let me just recap. Jesus tells us about a farmer, and the farmer is sowing seed. It's the same seed that he's sowing, and the seed represents the word of God. And Jesus describes that the farmer encounters four different types of soil. The seed falls in four different places. And the four different places, the four different types of soil, they represent human heart conditions. The first one, I think, he says that the seed falls on the path. well, nothing's going to grow on a grass. You don't need to be a green-fingered genius to know that things don't grow on paths. The birds come and take the seed and the people walk and trample it. Obviously, that's not going to produce anything. The second lot of seed, well, that falls in into the rocks, falls in with the rocks, the rocky places. Well, things that grow need roots. Nowhere for the roots to go. That's not going to last. Jesus describes these people as being people who hear the word of God and happy and joyful are they. And then when the trials and challenges come along their way, that's it, they're gone. No roots. The fourth type of soil, those are the good boys and girls. Those are the ones where the seed lands in the good soil. It's well nurtured. It grows. They're the good followers of Jesus. But the third soil, this is interesting, the third soil. This is the soil, it's all right soil, but it's got some other stuff growing in it. It's got some weeds and whatever else. I don't know. I just picture it like my garden when it hasn't been completely scorched to death. This is what he says. This is Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, that's the third soil, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And you think that's interesting? Doesn't mention sin. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that? Doesn't mention sin. No. Doesn't talk about sin. Doesn't mention sin. Doesn't say there's going to be sin that is preventing us from growing, from putting down our roots and growing in our faith. No. It talks about cares, riches, and pleasures. You got any of them? It's all right if you have. I've got them. I've got cares. I've got riches. I haven't really. I'd love some riches. I've got cares, riches, and pleasures. We all have. Of course we have. Family, good. Work, good. Providing for your family, good. Enjoying life, good. Planning for the future, yeah, that can be good. That can be wise. But thinking about the type of soil that Jesus has described, it is telling us that good things can become dangerous when they take the place that belongs to God. And I think there's a real danger for us here that our relationship with God can become slowly crowded out by the cares, by the riches, by the pleasures. Our relationship with God can be crowded out by things that are not automatically, necessarily bad for us. That's tricky. It's like a doctor telling you, you can't eat too many vegetables, you know. You see, the thing is, with our cares, riches and pleasures, we can still want God. Of course we can. But we can also want everything else. We can want Jesus, but we can also want comfort. We can want faith, but we can also want to feel that we are in control. We can want God, but we can also want all of our own plans. And honestly, our lives can look completely respectable from the outside, whilst on the inside, something is gradually just choking us out. And so I wonder, perhaps when God whispers, go deeper, perhaps he is asking us to examine our hearts. What has become more important to me than God? What is it that I am unwilling to surrender? What is it that I am trusting? And you know, this is actually something that the Lord has challenged me on literally just in this last month. You see, we decided earlier this year, we realized we had a bit of extra cash. It's nice. not experienced that before. And so we thought, do you know what? A bit of extra cash. Let's put it away. Just in case money, just in case. And so each month we put it away and it started to add up. It started to get a bit bigger, a bit bigger. I thought, this is nice. Not had this before. Not had a safety net before. Not had this. Nice. Just in case money. Just in case. Just in case. And I remember being able to just sort of step back and to look at it and go, do you know what? If something happens, if something happens, I think we might actually be all right. Do you know what happened? Something happened. An unexpected car bill at an unexpected time. I'm sure you're thinking, are car bills ever at a time that you expect them? Are they ever expected? Cars, they're money pits. It was an unexpected bill at an unexpected time. I tried everything that I could to pay that bill without touching that safety net. Do you know what it cost me? It cost me every penny of that safety net. Every last penny. And I was gutted. I'll be honest. I was gutted. Felt like we'd made some progress. Felt like we had built something. Felt like we had something to depend on, and then it needed to go. And then I took a step back and I reflected. And I started to give thanks. I thanked God for his provision that he had provided for us, the surplus, when we had the surplus. I thanked him that he gave us the wisdom that we needed, not to spend it on more takeaways, but to put it away just in case. Just in case money, just in case. But actually, the Lord had more to say on the matter. And he started to challenge me. Because without really noticing it, that just in case money actually had started to offer some security. The bigger the pot came, the safer things felt. I'll be honest. That's how it works. And God reminded me, he didn't need that pot of money to provide. He didn't need that. His provision would have been there with or without it. And whilst saving wasn't wrong, and planning wasn't wrong, and the money itself wasn't wrong, his money, he gave it to me. The money was never the ultimate security. God was. And when the bank balance changed, God didn't. When the safety net disappeared, God didn't. And when that resource was spent, God wasn't. And I have no doubt in my mind, in my heart, with every fibre of my being, that with or without that pot of money, God would have provided. I don't doubt that for a second. But I feel that this was an additional invitation from God to go deeper. Because sometimes going deeper with God isn't about receiving more. It's about learning to trust him even more deeply with what we have already. I don't know, maybe your safety net is not a small pot of money. It wasn't a game changer. I wasn't going to retire, honestly. I've got 3 children, a dog. Wasn't going to happen. Do you have any idea how expensive nappies are? It wasn't going to happen. I don't know. Maybe for you, it's something different. Maybe it's a career or reputation. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it is your ability to feel as though you are in control. Maybe it's your plans for the future. Perhaps it's your comfort. Maybe it's your health or your own strength. I think there's a question for each of us. And we might have to dig a bit deeper. It might not be the first thing that comes to mind. But the question is, what is it that we are trusting more than God? I think the real thing would be to ask yourself that when you're not sat here. And maybe during the week, when you're going through life, maybe it will be more closer to the forefront of your mind. there is a danger to us of being comfortable. And this actually brings us to what I think is one of the more uncomfortable passages in Scripture. It's found in Revelation. It's chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking to the church in Laodicea. And he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Do we all know what lukewarm is? Okay, I'll explain. I thought you'd all know. Okay, lukewarm is when it is neither hot nor cold. It is that yucky stage. It's when you go for your cup of tea and it's not quite hot enough. It's when it's... Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you are neither a freshly brewed caramel latte with a double shot of caffeine straight out of the machine. You're not that. You're not hot. Nor are you an iced caramel latte with a double shot of coffee. You are not on that end of the spectrum or on that end of the spectrum. You are in the middle. And because you are in the middle, it's disgusting. And honestly, I think that this is so uncomfortable to read because Jesus is talking to a church. He is talking to a body of disciples, a body of people that follow Jesus, a Christian community. And he says, you're gross. I'm going to spit you out. You are neither hot nor cold. You are lukewarm. And I think that's scary. And it's scary because lukewarm can actually look really respectable. Do you know that? Lukewarm can look like attending church. We can attend church. We can serve. We can give. We can worship. And still not be deeply surrendered to Jesus. I don't know who we think we're kidding. It's not him. We can sing about surrender without actually surrendering. We can call him Lord without actually allowing him to make the decisions in our lives. We can say that we trust him whilst actually making sure that we still feel like we're in control. We can say that we love him while allowing other things to take first place in our life. And I think there is a call there for each and every one of us to be asking, have I fully surrendered to God? It's really interesting because we sang this morning, didn't we? Do you remember? I'm no good with song lyrics, but we sang, I give you my heart, my soul, my yes, and my all. And my heart cries out because that's what I'm singing from the depths of my soul. And I just want to live that day after day after day. And the real struggle should be that if that is the reality, how do we get anything done? I do a lot of my praying in the car as I drive to work. And recently I've been finding I get to work and I'm not getting out of the car. Because I'm not done. People look out the window, they're thinking, what's going on there? I can see his mouth, he must be on the speakerphone, he's talking to someone. But I know, I get out of the car, I step in the building, and I'm hit with the challenges of the day. And I don't want to lose that experience. And for me at the moment, on a personal, on a very personal level, I'm trying to make that transition to bring in what happens in my car into my office. I don't want it to end, but I have got to go to work. In fact, the Lord has called me to that role for a reason. There are people in my workplace that will ask me to pray with them. Unsure in their faith, exploring their faith. You have my heart, you have my soul, you have my yes, you have my all. Imagine if we lived like that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do you notice the way that that is the order of that sentence, the way the words that are ordered? It says, by the mercies of God. That comes quite early on. You see, Paul is not saying, try harder so that God will love you. No. He's saying God loves you. God loves you first. He says, look at what God has already done for you. Look at that. Look at what he's done. Understand that. Hold it. Reflect on it. Treasure it. Look at his mercy. Look at his grace. Look at the cross. Look at Jesus. Paul says, see his love. And in response to that, offer to him yourself. Yourself. Your all. Not simply your Sunday morning, 10:30 till 12 if you're lucky. 12:15 if Andrew's preaching. 12:30 if Pastor Emmanuel's preaching. Not simply your Sunday morning, not simply your spare time, not just the part of your life that you feel comfortable giving to him, but your all. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you my yes, I give you my all. And this is where I think going deeper becomes very, very practical. Because what would deeper surrender look like for you? And in fairness, what it looks like for you might look different for me or even for the person next to you. This isn't necessarily a one-size-fits-all. Maybe it's surrendering your plans. Maybe it's surrendering your finances or a relationship or a need for control. Maybe it's surrendering something that you know that God has asked you to put down. Maybe it's simply saying, Lord, I don't just want you to be a part of my life, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. You see, surrender isn't about giving God a little bit more of our lives. Goodness me. No. That's not surrender. Surrender is about recognizing that all of our lives, every ounce of my life, already belongs to him. Already. You see, when we surrender deeply to God, we can trust him more deeply. When we trust him more deeply, we can obey him more deeply. When we obey him more deeply, we become more like Jesus. And when we become more like Jesus, we love more deeply. Wouldn't that just change the world? Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that he will show us a still more excellent way before going into chapter 13. And here's the first couple of verses of chapter 13. Paul writes, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul is talking about love. We got that, yeah? Must be love, love, love. I tell you what, some of you, what a letdown. I'm not doing it again. You've blown it. You've blown it. How disappointing. He talks about love, which is really important because, you know, spiritual gifts are not the final measure of maturity. It is possible for us to have spiritual experiences without becoming like Jesus. It is possible for us to be passionate in worship and still struggle to forgive someone. It's possible for us to know scripture inside and out and still be unkind. It's possible for us to pray powerful prayers and yet still refuse to love difficult people. And the question for us should be, am I becoming more like Jesus? Am I becoming more patient, more generous, quicker to forgive, more willing to serve, more aware of the lonely person, more willing to love the person who has nothing to give back in return? You see, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he tells us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. I mean, that's deeper. To love those who are our enemies. It is so easy to love people who love us back, isn't it? Tomorrow, I have the absolute privilege of celebrating my 13th wedding anniversary. Okay. It's lovely. So I actually, yeah, Nancy celebrates it as well. So she gave me a look up there. And interestingly, the pastor had me speak at a similar time last year, and it was my anniversary. Do you remember that? Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we want to go away. Maybe we want to go away, Robin. Maybe you could give me a different week next year. But it is so easy to love people who love us back. Yes? You'd agree with that? My love for my wife has changed over the last 13 years. When we started our marriage journey 13 years ago, we were all giddy and, you know, like texting one another and leaving notes and all that sort of, you know the stuff that you do when you're... Yeah. Okay, three kids, dog, mortgage, jobs, cars that break, yeah? The love is much deeper now because we're getting on with life. But the point is that it's easier, much easier to love people who love us in return. And I wonder whether one of the clearest signs of whether we are going deeper with God isn't how powerful our worship feels on a Sunday, but actually how we're treating people by the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I'm going to come and close now. I've had more than enough time. And I'm closing with an invitation, because we're going back to where we started, going deeper. You see, I believe that God is inviting us to see him again, to see his greatness, his holiness, his mercy, his faithfulness, to see his love again, to look at the cross again, to look at the empty tomb again today. Before we even get to Easter. Let's all remember that the God who created the heavens and the earth chose to come near us. The man in Matthew chapter 13, he found the treasure, do you remember? Do you remember the three key words? He found the treasure and in his joy, he sold everything to obtain it, everything. He held nothing back in his joy. Don't you want to experience that? Don't you want to live on the edge? Live on the edge and go, Lord, you better be there. I want to live like that. This man in Matthew chapter 13, he didn't spend all his time thinking about what he was losing. He had discovered something worth more than everything that he already possessed. And we need to rediscover that. We spend so much time thinking about what following Jesus might cost us. But I wonder what would happen if we spent more time thinking about what following Jesus has actually brought us. What have we found in him? Because we've found forgiveness. Guys, we have found grace. We have found hope. We have been given the Holy Spirit to navigate through life with. Ultimately, we have found Jesus. The one who created everything, who knows us completely, who loves us completely. The one who went to the cross to us. The one who rose from the grave for us. The one who has promised never to leave us. He is the treasure. Jesus, the whole time. And if he really is the treasure, honestly, I do not want to be giving him the leftovers of my life. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him deeper and deeper. I want to trust him when I've got plenty and when I don't. I want to obey him when it's easy and when it's going to cost me something. I want to love people more deeply because his spirit is at work within me. I want my life to look different because I belong to Jesus. Let them call us radical. And perhaps that's what God intends when he calls us to go deeper, deeper into him. What more do we need to surrender to God? What are we holding on to? What are we still trying to control? What are we trusting more than him? Which part of our lives are we keeping to ourselves? I believe that as we surrender more deeply to him, something will begin to happen. Amen. So it's not an encouragement. I'm not sure what the right word for it is. It's an ask. I don't know. A challenge, an invitation, exhortation. I don't know what that was. I think you need to do this. You need to do it for yourself. Each and every one of us needs to do this. I'll be doing this. You need to be doing this. It's between you and the Lord. Don't do it. That's for you. We need to go deeper in surrender. We need to give him all of our plans, all of our fears, all of our hopes, all of our plans, all of our resources. We need to give him all of our relationships. We need to give him all of our all. Amen. You've sung it. You were here. You said it.
Right.
You said it.
Amen.
You can have my heart, my soul, my yes, my all.
Yes.
If you don't mean it, don't sing it. You sung it.
Right.
I heard you. In fairness, I sang it. He is worth it. He is the treasure. In your joy, respond to that. When we see the treasure clearly, we realize that surrender isn't losing something. We're gaining something more valuable. Surrender is simply responding to the truth that Jesus is worth everything. He is worth our hearts, our souls, our yes, and our all. That's what he's worth.
Amen.
I'm done, but I'm going to pray. Is that all right? And then I'm going to hand over to somebody. I don't mind who. 12:08. They'll be making digs at me soon. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are beyond our human words. You are incredible. the care and the love, the wisdom, the design that you have put into this entire world and beyond the world and each and every one of our lives, Lord. You are worth every second of every minute of every hour of our lives. We come before you this morning, this afternoon, Lord, and we declare that yes, you can have our hearts, our souls, our yes and our all, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here this morning, having come closer to you, that we would leave here changed. I pray that you would change our hearts and our attitudes, Lord. I pray that you would put our bums into gear, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would still be living, demonstrating your love in our world by the time we get to our Wednesday, our Thursday, and our Friday. Help us to surrender to you, each and every aspect of our lives. Help us to fall more and more in love with you, to trust you more deeply, Lord. Challenge us. Take us to that edge, Lord. We want to leap and be caught by you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here this morning. I thank you for those that are catching up online, Lord. I thank you for their hearts and their openness to hear the words that you've put in my heart today, Lord. I ask that you'd bless them, you'd keep them. I pray that you'd encourage them, Lord. I ask this in the holy and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.